So coming up to this year's Yom HaShoah, was there much sort of angst, much uncertainty about how the day would be commemorated?
Very much so. The commemoration of Yom HaShoah, or Holocaust Remembrance Day, has been an integral part, a key part of the Jewish calendar, if I can call it that, for the last 75 years. In other words, since the end of World War II, since the end of the Holocaust. And the reason for that is because of what the Holocaust means and what it is and what it signifies is the ultimate in where racial hatred can lead. And because of what the Holocaust was, in a sentence, was the murder by Nazi Germany of 6 million Jews. And if Nazi Germany had not lost World War II, and thank God it did, it would have possibly spelled the murder of all Jews on the planet everywhere. So because of it's such a powerful moment in terms of the horrendous message of where racial hatred can lead, it's been very much part of the Jewish year every year. And so because of the pandemic in which we all find ourselves now, where we cannot mix in crowds in large numbers, etc., we had to consider how can we mark this important day and still give it the dignity and the importance which it warrants. And so what we did was, normally we have a ceremony which is 2 hours, exactly as you say. We have speakers, we have prayers, we have appropriate music, etc. And typically around 2,000 members of the community, Jewish community, plus MPs and diplomats and dignitaries will come together. Obviously, that could not happen. So what we did was we put together a half-hour package, as it were, and we had just a few of the main speakers and to report to a studio one by one and to give their speech on camera, which we recorded, and we put that together, interspersed that with the national anthem and with prayers and with appropriate song, and we put together a half-hour video package, a half-hour video, and that last night was streamed out to the whole wide world, in fact. And in fact, it's available on the Jewish Board of Deputies website. We can email it to anybody who wants it. And so what we had was a very moving, very appropriate half-hour presentation marking the Holocaust and the important lessons that come from it. And so that's how we got around the restrictions of the coronavirus while still honoring and getting the important message out there.
Women and the Holocaust, why was this chosen as the theme for the live session, and how did it sort of make itself known in the commemorations?
The way it made itself known was that the half-hour package which we put out last night began with a video interviews of 3 Holocaust survivors. Australia, just to go back one step, Australia was one of the most generous countries after World War II, after the Holocaust, in accepting Holocaust survivors into this country. And Australia was very generous in the years post-World War II. And so a significant percentage of the Jewish community here in Australia are Holocaust survivors, or were. Obviously, many of them are no longer alive, but and or their descendants. And so we interviewed 3 survivors, all women, all in their 90s, who told their unbelievable stories about such stories as literally hiding underground for 2 years, or hiding in a sewer, or being hidden by Christian families who took it upon themselves to hide young Jewish children from the Nazis. And so we interviewed 3 survivors, 3 women, and that was their unbelievably powerful testimony with video footage illustrating what they were talking about. And with their faces on camera, that's how last night's presentation began. And in addition to that, we had a brief but a 10-minute keynote speaker by Fiona Harari, who's a journalist here in Australia, and she writes a lot for The Australian. And she recently wrote a book in which she interviewed 18 Holocaust survivors living here in Australia, in Sydney and in Melbourne, about their story. And so her name is Fiona Harari. So she actually spoke. She gave a keynote address. And then I subsequently spoke as well. Why did we choose the theme Women in the Holocaust? For no reason other than just an important, one of the many important focus themes to focus on, you know, in getting this important message out.
And of course, the Jewish peoples are rather famously dispersed all around the globe, are the diaspora for a reason. In terms of the lessons we might learn from having to see Holocaust Remembrance Day celebrated in this way or commemorated in this day this year, virtually, will there be lessons that will be taken forward into future years to make sure it does reach the most amount of people as possible?
Sean, that's a great question. And this is the answer to your question came out in the remarks which I made in my presentation on the video last night. And that is to look at what's happening around the world and even sadly here in our own country, here in Australia. And so if we look at and what we are seeing is an alarming increase in extreme right-wing activity and around the world. So, for example, just in Germany, 2 months ago, a political earthquake took place. And first of all, Germany, to its credit, has owned the Holocaust. In other words, slap bang in the middle of Berlin, 200 meters from the Brandenburg Gate, which is right in the center of the city, you have a massive Holocaust memorial. So Germany is upfront, owns what happened during those terrible years. At the same time, however, there's a new political party in Germany, which is called the Alternative for Deutschland, which has been described as a Nazi party. And they already have 89 seats in the German parliament. They've only been around for 5-6 years, but they have 89 seats in the parliament. That is very alarming. In France, the president describes the resurgence of anti-Semitism as the worst since World War II. In the United States, we have the horrendous march in Charlottesville, Virginia, not long ago, where right-wing extremists marched carrying submachine guns, carrying torches, and yelling, "Jews will not replace us." And that sickening war cry manifested just a little while later when you had terrorist attacks at a couple of synagogues in the States. So to come back to your question, we have this alarming upsurge in right-wing extremism and increasing tolerance of intolerance, if I can put it that way. And that's the alarming lesson which is happening right around the world. And sadly, here in Australia, too, we see a sharp increase in anti-Semitic incidents which are happening. And so this is one of the important messages which we focused on in our Holocaust commemoration this year, is that it's an alarm bell for everybody that, you know, I believe we live in the greatest country in the world here in Australia, that we cannot take the democratic values which make our country the greatest country, we cannot take those values for granted. And we have to protect those freedoms and the democratic rights which we have, which make us the greatest country. So that's what we focused on and drew a direct connection from the Holocaust to the country which we have, the world which we have, and how we need to protect those values and not, because everything begins with words, and we need to be vigilant about where words can go and where they can lead.
Well, Vic, obviously those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Very much do appreciate you joining us this morning and talking us through this one.
I appreciate your interest in this, Sean. Thank you very much for the conversation.